This is Running the Race with Pastor Eddie Pinero of Calvary Chapel of Milford in Milford, Pennsylvania.
See, there are three words that I think every believer must really understand when it comes to your salvation. And as far as who you are in Christ and your relationship with Christ, there are three words. It is justice, grace, and mercy. Justice is this, is getting what we deserve. Grace is getting what we do not deserve. Mercy is holding back what we do deserve. God would be just to send his wrath to every sinner.
What is the difference between justice, grace, and mercy? In today's message, Pastor Eddie defines them and states that every Christian should understand these three words. Justice is getting what we deserve. God would be just in sending his wrath on every sinner. Grace, however, is receiving what we do not deserve. We are saved by God's grace. Mercy is holding back the punishment for what we do deserve. God provides all three. Well, let's join Pastor Eddie in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 as he begins his message, The Hope of Eternal Life.
First Peter chapter 1, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, of the promises we have in you by simply believing, by repenting and believing in the cross. And all who believe would have everlasting life. And Lord, we thank you for that. And now, Lord, as we continue our study of 1 Peter, we know that the first readers of this epistle were suffering extreme persecution. Lord, we do suffer, not like those 2,000 years ago and not like fellow believers in Christ around the world, but Lord, we do go through trials, various trials and suffering. Lord, it's so good to know the promise that we have in you. And so we ask, Lord, Father God, that you be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1. We began a new study, the study of the epistle of 1 Peter. We looked at the background of 1 Peter. The author is Peter, the apostle of Jesus Christ. The recipients were the believers in Christ who flee to Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey, Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. The date of this letter was written anywhere between A.D. 60 to A.D. 65. The place where this letter was written, it was written by the Apostle Peter while he was in Rome, to which he metaphorically describes as Babylon. The reason for the letter, well, is to encourage the believers in Christ who've been scattered around the world because of persecution. And he's reminding them of the faith and hope that we have in Jesus Christ in the midst of suffering. And so the theme is hope in time of suffering. After we looked at the background, the who, what, when, where, why of the letter, we began our verse-by-verse study with verses 1 and 2 of chapter 1. Peter identifies himself in verse 1 as an apostle of Jesus Christ. And we looked at that word apostolos, and it is really one who actually saw Jesus as we look in Acts chapter 1, verse 22. Peter gives us the qualification of one who's an apostle. There's no office of apostle today. Are we apostles in a broad sense? Yes, because the word apostola means sent out. But Peter gives the description of who is titled by the name of apostle, and that's only those who have seen the resurrected Christ, who's been a disciple with Christ all the time that Jesus was in ministry. So I don't think anybody qualifies for that today unless they're 2,000 years old, okay? So in a broad sense, we've all been sent out. The Great Commission, share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we looked at the word apostle, and then we ended with verse 2. And during the extreme persecution of the early church, during the Roman emperor by the name of Nero Augustus, the Christians at that time fled to Asia Minor. But he addresses them in verse 2 as the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. And that led our study to the doctrine of election. And so after rightly dividing the word of truth, looking at the many passages, we have discovered two things. Number one, God is sovereign. Number two, God has created man as a free will moral agent. So we have free will. We have the sovereignty of God, and we have the free will of man. And so the sovereignty of God is that God, according to his foreknowledge, he knows the end from the beginning. He has chosen us before the foundation of the world. So before creation, all of man, okay, that's my view, and that is fits perfectly. All of man has been chosen out of created image of God to be with God, but the fall has separated that. And so that's where the free will comes in. Out of God's sovereignty, man has a free will to repent, to follow and obey and serve God. And so God doesn't force anyone to believe in him. And so we have the sovereignty of God and we have the free will of man. And so they both dwell together. They both dwell together. Okay? And so it's, you know, regardless of people say, oh, I can't figure it out. Well, that makes the two of us, we can't all figure it out because that's, unless you're God, unless you can understand God. If you can understand God, then that God is a small God. But this is the way God works. This is according to scripture. Professor has said, and I quote again, if you try to explain election, you'll lose your mind. But if you try to explain it away, you'll lose your soul. Now we continue now with our study, verse by verse. And now we find ourselves in verses 3 to 12. Verses 3 to 12 of chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 12. Let us read this passage together, and then we'll look at it verse by verse. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Peter writes, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercies has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. These 10 verses, verses 3 to 12, although we have them in our English Bible with punctuation, a total of 4 sentences, a total of 259 words, is in the Greek text one continuous sentence, just one sentence. I'm grateful for the punctuations and the periods because that's a breathful. I didn't count all 259 words, by the way. You know, Word Doc, it has that little counting, right? It tells you, for those of you who know. But I think just because the Apostle Peter is now expressing his gratitude to God the Father and for his salvation, the person and work of Jesus Christ. And because Jesus has completed the work of salvation, there is living hope. Remember, the theme of the letter is hope in a time of suffering. And the recipients of the letter were suffering because of the persecution by the Roman Emperor Nero. And he's reminding them, the believers in Christ, that we have a living hope. In Christ, we have a living home. And so he expresses his gratitude to God the Father. He expresses his gratitude for all that Christ has done for him on the cross. And even after the cross, because we believe that the inheritance that we have and the promise of the future that we have in heaven. And so for those of you who are taking notes, we're going to look at three things in our study. In verses 3 to 5, we're going to be praising God for salvation. Praising God for salvation. That's in verses 3 through 5. In verses 6 through 9, the joy of salvation. The joy of salvation in verses 6 through 9. In verses 10 through 12, the prophecies of salvation. And that's the prophecies of salvation. Well, we read the text. Let us now study it verse by verse. Let's look at verse 3 of chapter 1. Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Peter begins this expression, this appreciation for his salvation. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." After opening his letter with a greeting, he now begins with a doxology. A doxology means to praise. So he praises God for his salvation. Blessed be the God. Don't let it just think it's a bunch of words in the English. It is blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word bless here is not the same word we read it with the Beatitude, where it said, blessed are the poor, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, and so on. That word bless in the Beatitude, it's a word means happy. And there's another word for bless, and it doesn't mean praise, but this bless means when Jesus says, blessed are those who curse you. That's a different word for blessing. But the word that we have now is blessed. That's the word before us is Ilogatos, and is mentioned only eight times in the entire New Testament. It means praise, praiseworthy. Now, this Greek word for bless, very important. You may want to underline it in your Bible. It's okay to mark your Bibles because you don't. And it's this word bless is only used for God, is not used for man. It's only used for God, not for man. The Jews would use this when they praise God after they mention his name. They would say God. And they say, blessed be he. God, blessed be he. That is how they will honor and reverence his name. And so it's a way of blessing God. And so through the suffering and persecution, Peter begins to encourage the believers in Christ to express their gratitude to God. Not only is he expressing his gratitude for his salvation, but he's also encouraging the readers. 2,000 years ago, he's encouraging you and I to praise God, to give a doxology, praise him for all he has done. In the midst of suffering and trials and tribulations that we're going to, we praise God because he is worthy to be praised. And so he expresses his appreciation and he expresses his gratitude to the Lord in worship. And he gives us 5 reasons why we ought to praise God for our salvation. 5 reasons, okay? Reason number 1 is because of God's mercy. Look at verse 1 again, God's mercies. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy." We bless God, we praise him because of his mercy toward us. You see, before the cross, before we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and personal Savior, we were enemies with God. We sinned against God. And because we sinned against God, we deserved the wrath and judgment of God. However, praise be to God, because of his mercies, he sent his son, Jesus Christ. You see, there are 3 words that I think every believer must really understand when it comes to your salvation. And as far as who you are in Christ and your relationship with Christ, there are 3 words. It is justice, grace, and mercy. Justice is this, is getting what we deserve. Grace is getting what we do not deserve. Mercy is holding back what we do deserve. God would be just to send his wrath to every sinner. But because of his amazing grace, he has mercy upon us. Jesus took our place at the cross, and he died for our sins, and he took on the wrath, the judgment for sin. He took on the sins of the world, your sins, my sins, every sin from Adam all the way to the last, past, present, and future. And the judgment was the wrath of God, and Christ took it upon himself because it all started with mercy. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Paul writes this, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved." And that's the first reason. The second reason we ought to praise God for salvation, number two, is because it says there in verse 1, because he begotten us. He has begotten us. Through Jesus Christ, God has begotten us and has now added us to the family. In other words, we've been born again. Begotten means born again. So we're born again spiritually. Before Christ, we were just flesh. We were alive physically, but we were dead spiritually. And through Jesus Christ and his work at the cross, we are now born again. Because the reality is, only the born again will enter the kingdom of heaven. It's not because you're good. It's not because you're nice. It's because one is born again. Don't take my word for it, but this is what Jesus said. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." He went on to say in verses 5 and 7 of chapter 3, he said, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again." And Jesus repeats it just to make the emphasis. One must be born again in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. And so we praise God for his mercy. We praise God because he has begotten us. Number three, we praise God because he's given us a living hope, a living hope. Look at the end of verse 3. He said, "To a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Before Christ, we had no hope. No hope beyond the grave, that is. Beyond the grave, there's no hope for those who don't believe in Christ, who are not born again, you see. The only thing that was beyond the grave for us was the judgment and eternal damnation. However, because of his abundant mercy, because he has begotten us, we have now a living hope because of Christ, a living hope in heaven. You see, our hope is not like that of the world. The hope of the world is wishful thinking, empty, dead, void. I wish for a promotion. I wish for a car. I wish for a bigger home. All these things will one day pass away. But the hope we, as believers in Christ, have is a living hope that will never pass away. And that's all due because of Jesus Christ. When he conquered the grave, he rose from the grave, he conquered sin and death, and he conquered a grave. Because Christ rose from the grave, we too will rise like Christ one day and be with him forever. This is what Peter wrote in his second letter, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. He says, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." Paul writes Philippians chapter 1 verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." That should be on our refrigerator. "For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain." Saints, in Christ Jesus, we have a living hope. The fourth thing we praise God for our salvation is because of our spiritual inheritance, our inheritance we have in Christ. Look at verse 4. He says, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." For the born again believers in Christ, God has already determined where you would be once you die. And we don't die, actually. We have eternal life. We pass away. The body goes to the grave, but the body, the soul, is to be in the presence of the Lord. That's why Paul says, absent of the body is to be present with the Lord. But just as the children of Israel received their earthly inheritance, the land of Canaan and Israel, which regardless of what the world says, what the UN says, Israel belongs to the children of Israel. So too, the believers in Christ, the church, will receive a spiritual inheritance in heaven. And unlike the earthly material possession, our inheritance in heaven is three things: incorruptible, undefiled, and does not pass away, does not fade away. So our inheritance doesn't perish, it doesn't spoil, it doesn't fade. It is incorruptible in that it's death-proof. It is undefiled in that it's sin-proof. And it does not fade away in that it's time-proof. It's all reserved for us in heaven. And number five, the fifth reason we should praise God for our salvation is because the power of God. Because the power of God. Look at verse 5. Who, speaking of you and I, are kept, you and I are kept by the power of God. We are kept by the power of God. Verse 5 gives us the assurance that we will make it to heaven and enjoy our inheritance. How can we be sure that we will make it? Well, it is all by the power of God. Not your power, not your strength. Not by what you do, but what Christ has done and continues to do in us. And it is by faith. Because you know it's impossible. We mess up all the times, don't we? Oh, don't we, right? Well, not us, the other people, right? Right? We all mess up. We mess up all the time. And so what we need the power of God to help us. So that we will not sin against him, sin against our brother. But that we would be more and more like Christ. It's impossible. We can't do it on our own strength. We fail miserably. God keeps us by his power. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's look at verse 5 again. Who are kept by the power of God, and here it is, it's important, through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. It is through faith. And by your faith in God, God is keeping you by his power. It is because of your faith. Now, God alone has the power, but God cannot force you. Faith needs to be included in this. God has all the power. More power than we will ever need. More power than we will ever need. But it is faith. Faith. God is not going to force himself on you. He's not going to keep you. He's not going to sustain you and use his power if you do not have faith. We're not talking about faith unto salvation. We're talking about a faith that continues throughout our life as believers in Christ until we stand before him in glory. That's why the writer of Hebrews writes in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so we are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jews first, and also for the Greeks.
Thank you for listening to Running the Race. Pastor Eddie's currently in 1 Peter, a book so many of us can relate to. Between unexpected circumstances and our own feelings, we're prone to not handle life well all the time. If we're honest, persevering in unjust situations is the last thing we want to do. But it's what God calls us to do. The next time you find yourself in a troublesome situation or your feelings threaten to take over, remember to persevere. Push through so your faith grows and is that much more rooted in God. Isn't it nice to know that even though you experience injustice, God sees it and he knows your heart? If anything you've heard today has you wondering or has prompted some questions, would you get in touch with us? All of our contact information can be found on our website, runningtheraceradio.com. Here's Jessica to tell you more about how you can partner with us.
Prayers for this ministry would be so appreciated. The opportunity for the lost to be reached over the radio is incredible. So please pray for our listening audience and that what's shared will alter people's lives forever. Another way you can support us is by prayerfully considering giving in a financial way. There's a lot of time and effort that goes into producing this program. And we're grateful for all who are willing to come alongside us to support the creation of each program. If you feel led to do this, you can find a Give tab at runningtheraceradio.com.
Thanks, Jessica. We look forward to spending more time with you, our listeners, on the next edition of Running the Race.